thanks, Sammy. Hopefully you could hear along there. It was a little bit crackly at points, but keep your Bibles open or your device to Acts chapter 11 as we spend about 20 minutes or so thinking about this part of God's Word, and then we'll cross to the kids so that they can get ready to be encouraged from God's Word as well. But let's pray. Father, this morning, please help us to expand our vision of your grace. May your grace flow through our lives and the midst of this crisis. In Jesus' name, amen. If I've not met you before, my name is Stu, so it's good to be speaking to you. On Instagram this morning, I said that I've preached in remote community in South Australia to a few people on a Sunday morning, but never have I preached to a screen. So you can pray for me this morning that I'll help us as we seek to understand Acts chapter 11. Well, this was an unreachable place. It was a place where no southerner would dare to tread. The borders were definitely closed. We're not talking about the year 2020 during COVID-19. The year was 1987 and the place was Carrara on the Gold Coast. But against all odds, the AFL made it all the way through New South Wales from Victoria into Queensland. It breached the walls of Queensland. ABC Sport described it as the dirty words of Australian rules football made it to Queensland. How did this game reach this unreachable market? How did it fuel this remarkable mission? If you're around in the 80s, you'll remember someone by the name of Christopher Skase. Through Skase, Aussie rules invaded the borders of Queensland. They had tight shorts, short sleeves. Those around the club remember Christopher and they say, we know he got caught out in the end, but in the 80s he was a wheeler and a dealer. And yet when we come to Acts 11 today, it seems like the Apostle Peter has been doing some wheeling and dealing of his own. By the time he returns from Joppa to Jerusalem, everyone's worried. What has he been doing? Has he been making contact with non-Jews? He's been in their homes. He's been eating their food. He's been touching them. It seems like they want him in quarantine back in Jerusalem. They ask him some pretty searching questions. Now, if you're joining us online for the first time, chapter 11 of Acts gives us a bit of a rerun of what happened in the last chapter in Acts 10. So hopefully you'll get a bit of a feel of the story so far. However, as we finish today, you might want to stay online and you could Google the Bible Project. If you click in the menu, explore Bible videos, go down the left-hand side and click New Testament, and then you can click on Acts. Watch part one of two, and there'll be an 8-minute video that'll take you from the start of the book of Acts all the way up to our reading today. But for now, we're going to jump into the text of Acts 11 as we move through it over the next 15 minutes or so. Well, Peter returns from the border, from Joppa to Jerusalem, but he isn't well received, is he? In fact, there's genuine concern about where he's been. Who has he touched? It's not beyond us to think Peter's being treated a little like the passengers off the Ruby Princess, the cruise ship that docked last week in Circular Quay. I mean, imagine if you were one of those passengers being locked up on the water and you walk off to stares, to abuse, to questions as you dock at Circular Quay. You see, here in Acts 11, there is huge suspicion about Peter. There is concern. There are looks. There's a shaking of heads. Then the questions begin. Have a look in your Bible or your device at Acts chapter 11 and verse 2. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went in the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." You see, the word has got around that the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, have received the word of God in verse 1. If you've been with us since the start of the term as we've moved through this book of Acts together, if you've been listening to the author Luke, you might remember and think, this is the perfect outcome. This is what we've been hoping for. People not just from Israel, people from the Mediterranean are responding to God's word about Jesus. This is all part of the plan from Acts chapter 1 verse 8 when Jesus commissioned his team. Hopefully if you're with us back in February, on the 2nd of February, you might know this verse off by heart. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so that is what Jesus provided. He said, here's the game plan, right back at the start of Acts. So if you've been reading along, you might be a little perplexed to see, as soon as Peter puts his bags down from his most recent trip, he finds himself being questioned. Remember verse 2, they criticized him. Where have you been? Peter has some explaining to do. So from verse 4, I suspect he can see they are pretty upset. So he gives them the long story, all the way from verse 4 through to verse 18. Across these 14 verses, Peter gives them the whole story of what he'd been up to in Joppa. During the week, some of my gospel community, we met together over Zoom, and we were recounting what happened with Peter. The whole incident with Cornelius and the timing of Peter's vision in Acts 10. We noticed how precise it was, all the things that interacted in Acts 10, the vision, the knocking on the door. It seemed to us that, simply to everyone, God was doing something unusual. God was doing something great. You see, Peter has been jammed into this house with an Italian officer, and it certainly would raise some eyebrows now. And it certainly did back then too. And Peter knows this was amazing. He wasn't expecting this to happen in Acts 10. And so Peter says in Acts 11, verse 17, have a look at it with me. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Peter is adamant, oh, I didn't expect this. God is blowing my horizons. God is doing things I didn't expect. So in verse 18, Peter's accusers now become his supporters. When they heard this, they had no further objections. They praised God saying, so then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to faith. God had brought hope. God had brought life to people who were in far off borders. But God isn't finished yet. There are some more surprises to come. So let's have a look at verses 19 through to 30. Stay with me. Well, if the believers still had some questions about God bringing life to those outside the Jewish community, they're certainly answered in verses 19 through to verse 30. Have a listen to verse 20 and following. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Here is the word of God, moving across borders, moving through ethnicities. And when the news of this spread back and reaches headquarters in Jerusalem, this time there's no complaint, no criticism. They send their representative, Barnabas, in verse 22. His report, and we hear the enthusiasm in his voice, verse 23, have a look. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Barnabas moved across borders. He goes into this multicultural city of the ancient world, Antioch. But do you know what? God's grace had beat him there. God's grace had already arrived before him. God's grace had already done its work. And just as God's grace was not restricted by physical borders, nor was restricted in the lives of those it affected. Have a look at verse 29. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. Just as the coronavirus has created growing needs in our community. This period of history, recorded in Acts 11, was not immune from its own crises. A severe famine struck. For an age in history, when it was dependent on agriculture, you can imagine the havoc it would have caused. And it wasn't just in Jerusalem, it wasn't just in Antioch. Verse 28 suggests this was far-reaching. And yet in verse 29, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for each other. You might have heard during the week, 8,000 of the 10,000 strong workforce with Virgin Airlines has been laid off until at least May. The airline has been crippled by COVID-19. And yet the effect of this is due not just to hit corporate businesses like Virgin Airlines. It's affecting local businesses. It's affecting people within our church family, and it could even be affecting you. But praise be to God that God's grace knows no boundaries, no borders. Last weekend, $1,400 was placed in the Common Fund to support individuals and families across our church and to some of their close friends who don't yet know the grace of God. So let us be encouraged in the midst of COVID-19 to know God's grace is not hindered even though borders may be shut. Nor is God's grace restrained by financial ruin. But each of us, as we are able, we might decide to support our brothers and sisters in need. The Common Fund is an incredible gift to our church family to help achieve this, as are our gospel communities as well. Well, in the 1980s, an unreachable place for Aussie rules was Queensland. It wasn't because the borders were literally shut, boarded up with concrete pylons or police like there was this week at Tweed Heads and Coolangatta. It wasn't because the CEO had closed the season on the AFL. It was unreachable because the people there didn't want it. Queenslanders, they were a rugby league people. Not even the big hair and the tight shorts of a guy like Warwick Capper could reach the people of Queensland. This new team in Queensland were made fun of. They were the laughing stock. The people that did turn up to games were supporting the opposition. But around 10 years later, the unreachable had been reached as the captain of the now Brisbane Lions reached out to receive the trophy as this Queensland team north of the border won the AFL Premiership in 2001. In Acts 11, Peter crosses the border back to Jerusalem. He finds himself in a lot of trouble. Questions are asked about why he, a Jew, was not safe distancing himself from Gentiles. But he recounts his trip in verses 1 through to 17. His fellow believers begin to understand that Jesus has a cure for death. That Jesus is graciously providing life to everyone who believes in him. This seemingly unreached people group is being reached. Barnabas has seen it firsthand. He travelled into this multicultural city of Antioch. He saw the spread of something that didn't bring fear. It brought gladness, as no virus but a cure to human sin was received. Received by different races, not separated, not isolated, but united, as for the first time in Antioch they were called Christians. Sean Hart was recruited to play AFL in Queensland in 1989. He remembered hearing the news on the radio as a teenager from country Victoria in the AFL draft. He recounts the time and he said he cried all the way from Victoria to the Queensland border. And yet, 12 long years later, after toiling away in this strange place, a long, long way from home, Sean would reach his hands around the AFL Premiership Trophy. Why am I talking to you about this? Is it because I'm a massive fan of AFL? Not so much. This is what is really exciting. Sean was named Player of the Match in 2001. when he was presented with the award, he didn't go on a long story about 12 years ago as a teenage kid, I left Victoria to this strange place called Queensland. The first thing he did when he received the reward, he said these words, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for life. A Victorian outcast in an unreachable place. But he knew the greatest news was that the grace of God in Jesus has no borders. If you've never received that grace, I invite you to pray today that God's grace might sweep through you, revealing to you the treasure that Christ is. Please reach out to him. He will not stay away from you, but he will wrap his arms around you with his grace. And yet be prepared to let his grace move through you, that you might be able to be his hands and his feet to those who are isolated. You see, grace will still encourage us to reach out, to creatively care for others in the midst of COVID. So be creative and be caring. Well, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we want to thank you for your grace, a grace that cannot be locked out by borders, a grace so strong and effective it can move into any heart and allow it to celebrate Christ. We are sorry for the ways that we can resist your grace, that we can give way to fear, scrambling to find solutions, pushing and shoving to ensure we're safe. Please today help us to know the safety that is found in you, that you do provide. Whether that be through Christian brothers and sisters, or through God's common grace of governments, please help us to be wise. Please help us to be generous. And please help us where we are able. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.